Today, we're going to look in Acts chapter 8, continuing our series of messages on the church. Today, we're going to talk about joy in the church, or great joy in the church. Would you stand with me as we read from Acts chapter 8 and verse 1? It says, "Now Saul was consenting to his death." And the "his" there that he's speaking of is the death of Stephen. Okay? "At that time, a great persecution arose against the church which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout all the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them into prison. Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. And the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits crying with a loud voice came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city." Great joy in that city. Again, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we rejoice in your word. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for this text that you've laid upon my heart today. And now I pray, Lord, you'd speak to us through your word, that it be not my message, but your own. And Lord, encourage us, convict us, so that, Lord, we may have a passion and a fire for you that cannot be put out even by Satan himself. Lord, we give you glory and praise and pray your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. 2 weeks ago, I gave you a challenge. That challenge was to change your seat. And as I can tell, I don't have to ask you if you've done it, because I can look around and I can't find about two-thirds of you. And as I told you, when I made that challenge, it does mess me up, because I'm thinking, where are they? Are they here today? Are they not here? But that's fine. I'll live with that. That's a good thing, okay? Let me encourage you. But are you meeting people and speaking to people that you've never spoken to before? Are you doing that? Okay? That was a weak amen. I hope you are. If you're not, all right, we just moved your place. And we don't want to just move you. We want to move you for the glory of God, right? And so seek out those people you've never met before. Ask them their name. It's okay. They'll not hold it against you. If they do, that's their problem anyway, right? But this morning, I have another challenge for you. I see the excitement on your face. You're thinking, oh boy, I can't wait. But I'm not going to tell you to the end of this message. We start today in this message with a great persecution that had befallen the church that was at Jerusalem. It says, verse 1, that a man named Saul. Now Saul, of course, is the Apostle Paul, but he was called Saul before he was converted to Christianity. And I want you to know, at this point in his life, he was the meanest, nastiest, Christian-hating man that could be upon the face of the earth at that time. He hated the Christianity movement. He hated the concept of Jesus. As a matter of fact, it says he made havoc of the church. It means to injure or to devastate. He was doing everything he could to put a stop to this Christianity movement. He would go from house to house arresting Christians and putting them into prison. He was there. And when Stephen was stoned, and it says he consented to Stephen's death. That word consented, it means agree with. But the word death there that it's used when it says it's consented, or he consented to the death of Stephen, that word death doesn't mean death by natural causes. That word literally means to murder somebody. So when it says, and you get the concept of the kind of guy that Saul was at this point, he consented or agreed with the murder of Stephen, the disciple of Jesus Christ. or a follower of Jesus Christ. He would have cheered while the stones pelted that man to his death. As a result of such persecutions, it says the church at Jerusalem was scattered. This is where it gets good. Are you with me? Okay. That word scattered is an interesting word. It doesn't mean just to disperse. It's the same word that would have been used at that time to refer to sowing seed, like a farmer would throw out seed and expect a harvest or expect growth of that seed and a harvest. So when it says the church at Jerusalem was scattered, that's not a negative word. As a matter of fact, I love the choice of the word because it is a positive word. They weren't ran out of town, but rather God had sown them all over the region of Judea and Samaria. And I'm sure if you were asked them at that time, they would say, yeah, we were run out of Jerusalem. We were run out of town. I don't like it where I am, but I had no choice. But do you see God's plan here? God wasn't allowing them to just be persecuted. He was allowing them to be planted elsewhere. And you know, the great thing about this part of the story is, as they were scattered or sown elsewhere, the fire of their faith burned hotter than ever. Isn't that cool? I mean, there were no whining Baptists in the church at Jerusalem. As they left Jerusalem, they were looking for people to tell about Jesus Christ. And as I looked at it, I thought about that. And I use the term whiny Baptist on purpose because we're really good at being whiny. I mean, I can say that because I am one, right? I am whining. Oh, I whine. I don't like where I am. I don't like what I'm doing. I don't like the circumstances of my life. Do you do that? I hear people all the time talk about, well, I don't like the job that I've got in this life or in this world. And I would like to live somewhere else. I'd like to do something else. Well, wait a minute. Do you ever think that God just might have you there for a reason? Think about it. Do you believe that God is Almighty God? Do you believe that God has everything under His control? Oh, this message will take forever. Y'all got an amen? Because that lets me know you're going with me, okay? And if you're not going with me, I'll never get to the end. So let's try it again. Do you believe that God is almighty and all-powerful? Do you believe that our God has all this universe under His control? Do you believe that all things happen for a reason and all things work together for good to those who love God? Do you believe that? Absolutely. And if you believe that, you've got to back up and you've got to realize, hey, the God in whom I place my faith and my trust has me where I am for a reason. That's what we don't think. You know, we spend a lot of time, oh, God, get me out of here. And God's saying, do what I put you there to do. Be on fire for Jesus Christ. Share your faith. That's what I love about this. Satan, he's trying to put out the fire, and he's just fanning the flames. These people are leaving Jerusalem, and the fire, they're carrying the fire of Jesus Christ with them. Oh, listen, my friends. You may not be where you want to be, but I promise you this, you are where God has you, and you are there for a reason. And the reason, are you ready? The reason you are where you are is to spread your faith. That's the reason. Well, now, Brother Doug, I think we need to keep work and religion separate. No! That's what's wrong with our country. We're trying to keep religion out of everything. Let's put it back where it belongs. The world is screaming, keep your religion out of government. Look at our government. Look at what it's coming to. They're telling us keep our religion out of the schools. And so look where our schools are coming to. Every year there are school shootings, immoralities, drugs, ungodliness. Listen, we're inviting God out of this stuff. And we're opening the door saying, come on, Satan, take over. Amen. What we've got to become as the church of God is alive and on fire and realize that, beloved, we are here for a reason. Let the fire burn. You have a choice. You may not be where you want to be. You may not be where you hoped you'd be. And things may not be working out like you had wanted them to work out. But beloved, you're there for a reason. The reason is to evangelize this world. You see, we've got to change our mentality. We've got to become preaching saints like the saints of Jerusalem. I love this. And I'll point this out to you. Did you notice when we read this, the last part, the last line of verse 8, it says, except the apostles. The last line of verse 1, I said verse 8, didn't I? Chapter 8, verse 1. It says, everybody from the church of Jerusalem was scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria except the apostles. Wait a minute. Those guys are the guys that had been with Jesus. They're the preachers and the teachers in that church at Jerusalem. They're supposed to be the 18. Why in God spreading those guys? But I'm going to show you a powerful truth right here. Okay? You know what those guys were doing? They were preaching to and teaching the saints at the church at Jerusalem. Those guys were setting the saints on fire, and then God allowed the persecution which shot those saints out of the church at Jerusalem. I point that out to you because most Christians today have the mentality, well, we have a church staff for that. I mean, Brother Ken Worthy is our outreach director. That's what we pay him for. No! We pay him to lead us so that we can go with him. Amen. Okay? We pay the church staff so that our saints of victory. You like that? Saints of victory? That's what you are. We have called the church staff of the saints of victory to equip the people of victory so that they can go into this world and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not saying that pastors shouldn't witness, but you know what works best? Yes, I need to witness as I go daily. But what works best is when I witness, and you witness, and you witness, and you witness, and you witness. Because you know what? If we all become witnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ, Satan can't shut up every one of us. Amen. And the laws of man, you know, it does not matter. We can't be stopped. I want you to notice, first of all, in learning, for there to be joy in the church, we, as the saints of God, are going to have to realize what our job is. And our job, verse 4, they went everywhere preaching the word. I like that. Do you go everywhere preaching the word? Oh me. Why not? See, and I want to point out something to you. That word preaching, when we think of preaching, we think of what I do on Sunday, get up here in front of you and, you know, have this message, this long message. That's not what that word means. Okay? That word simply means to declare good news. Okay? And they didn't go everywhere and get them a pulpit when they got to the next city and set up and start preaching on street corners. You know what they did? They went one by one and shared the good news of Jesus Christ. That's the command. That's the idea. You see? It's not about... I know we're not all modern day preachers, but we are all modern day evangelists. Okay? of sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, of sharing who Jesus is and the difference that He makes in people's lives. It's your job. It's my job to bring good news. And if we ever needed good news, it's now. I mean, let's think about it. Matthew 28. Verse 19. You've all heard this, but I'm going to remind you again. It says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Go therefore. That word "go" literally means "as you go." It means "as you live." All right? Let's put it in our modern language. As you live, as you work, as you visit, as you play. It does. I'm glad God doesn't call us all to be missionaries to China, aren't you? Oh, come on. You can amen that. I don't care who you are. I'm glad that God doesn't call everybody to be missionaries to Romania. But I am also glad that He calls everyone to be a missionary. And He has placed you where you are. Your purpose on this earth is not to make money. It's not to have a great job and a big house. It's not to accumulate worldly wealth. Your job in this world, your purpose is to bring good news to people. And that good news is Jesus Christ. Do you? That's very simply what this church at Jerusalem was doing. When they were going out, they were just talking to people about Jesus. Do you do that? You know what happens to me sometimes? And I get this. I said, "Brother Doug, I don't always have time to lay out the plan of salvation." I understand. But you always have time to plant the seed. Invite somebody to church. Do you do that? Do you invite people to church? "Well, I did last month." Well, that's not enough. Okay? You have time to plant the seed. But you know, here's what happens to me. See, I think I need to plant the seed when I go into Walmart. I think I need to plant the seed when I go into Fred's or Kmart or wherever I'm at and just talking and meeting people in restaurants. I need to be seed planting. Amen? Amen. I need to. Come on. Amen. I'm just talking about me. Right? I need to be seed planting because I've been planted where I am. Now, what happens to me is this. I'll go in somewhere to do business. And the Lord speaks to my heart. Does the Lord speak to your heart? I'm not talking about an audible voice, but you just know it's real. And it's just like, "Doug, you need to talk to this person about Jesus. You need to invite this person to church." And I'm like, "Lord, this is really not an opportune time. I'll go on with my business and talk to this person." And the longer I'm there, the louder the voice gets. "Invite this person to church. It won't do any good." And we go back and we talk some more. And the more I talk, the more it comes. "Invite this person to church." Until it's like, "Hey, you big dummy, I brought you in here. Invite this lady to church." Does that happen to you? It happens to me a lot, I'll be honest with you. And it looks like I'd get it after a while. And then, after I've gone through the "it won't do any goods" and they don't want to hear it right now and it's not the right time, after I go through that, I get down to the end. I say, "Hey, I want to ask you something. Where do you go to church?" And almost without fail, I'm going to say 90% of the time when I'm moved in that direction and I say, "Hey, where do you go to church?" You know what that person will say? "Well, I used to go here, but I don't go much anymore anywhere." And I've been thinking about getting back in church and looking for a church home, or we've been shopping for a church home, and then I'm all over it. Well, let me tell you about the best group of people I know in Russellville. Not to take anything away from other people in Russellville, but I just think God has blessed us with a wonderful church family, you know? And so I begin to share, come visit us at church. And I may not be able to lay out the whole plan of salvation, but I can plant a seed, and that's what I want you to get, you know? And then I walk out and I'm like, Lord, you were right. That lady did need to hear from me today. She did need to hear from, an invitation to church. She did need to know that somebody cares about her. Lord, you're right. And I walk out and I say, I'm not going to do that anymore, Lord. I'm going to listen to you next time. And I hate to admit it, but I fail again. What am I trying to share with you? Listen, we're here for a reason. Okay? You, every individual here, you're here for a reason. And that reason's not to enjoy life. It's not to make your wealth, and that's empty. You're here to make a kingdom difference. You're here to send treasures ahead into heaven. How are you doing? Oh, listen. We need to change. We need to change our mentality as children of God. We need to quit being this quiet, reserved, little good Christian that we're afraid the world don't want to hear from, to being this person who has good news that we're not afraid to share. Okay? I'm not talking about, pounding down doors and shouting in the middle of the mall. I'm not talking about, I'm talking about just walking up to people and say, where do you go to church? Let me invite you. That when God opens the door, let me tell you about Jesus and what He's done for me. That's why we're here. That's why the church at Jerusalem was scattered. Let me ask you a question. If we were scattered today, what difference would it make? Would you scatter with Jesus on your lips? Would you scatter carrying the good news with you? Or would you just walk away and say, well, it didn't work out, or, I had a run of bad luck? No. There's no such thing as bad luck, good luck. There's a God that's in control. And all things, my friends, happen for a reason. They left there and they're preaching the gospel. And I love what happens at Samaria. At the end of the reading, in verse 6, it says, the multitudes heeded the things that were spoken by Philip. They responded to the message. And look at the result. There was, in verse 8, it says, there was great joy in that city. Can you imagine? They were smiling. Unlike many of you this morning. They were happy. You know why they were happy? Because Jesus was preached and people were responding. That's why they were happy. Do you know the most exciting time for a church is when people are responding to the good news of Jesus Christ? I want to tell you, Brother Dale can have the best music service you've ever heard. I can have the best message you've ever heard. Me preach. But it will not touch the excitement that comes when one sinner comes to know Jesus Christ as salvation. When you walk out of here today, you will, next week somebody asks you, what's your preacher preaching about? You're going to go, it's right on the end of my tongue. But I'll tell you what you won't forget. You won't forget the person that walks the aisle and gives their name to Jesus, gives their life to Jesus, will you? That'll stick with you. Why? Because that's exciting stuff for a church. That's why we're here. I'll be honest with you. I can't tell you exactly the message I preached a month ago, but I remember who joined the church and who were baptized. I can remember those. Why? Because it's exciting to see people respond. If people are going to respond, we're going to have to put them in a position to respond. Okay? That means you and I are sown or planted where we are. Now we're going to have to start sharing. Inviting people. You want that joy in church? Bring somebody to church. You know the motto of a dying church? It won't do any good. That's their favorite phrase. I've invited them before. It's favorite phrase. Invite them again. I've talked to them about Jesus before. Talk to them again. Because one of these days, you're going to say something or you're going to do something that's going to touch their heart. Amen. Never say it's too late. I want to go back to the beginning of this message. Okay? Never say they won't respond. You take a hater like Saul. He was the meanest, the nastiest Christian hater that ever walked the face of the earth. And this is a little bit my opinion. He was bad news. Nobody wanted to tell him about Jesus. Nobody. Why? Because he was too far gone. It wouldn't do any good to tell that heathen man about Jesus. It wouldn't do any good. It wouldn't have any effect. But you know what? God got a hold of that man one day. God got a hold of him. And he was saved. He heard the gospel. And he was changed. He was changed. I want you to think of the worst person you know. Are you there? If you're there, say amen. Worst person you know. Sorriest old drug, whatever he or she is. Meanest old whatever he or she is. The worst person you know. Did you know God can change them for His glory? You see, the reason there's not excitement in church today is because we don't think that God moves anymore. The reason God doesn't move anymore, my friends, is because churches aren't moving anymore. Amen. We're not sharing Jesus Christ. We're not declaring the gospel. We're not bringing people and putting them into a position to hear the gospel and to respond. Isaiah 55:11, Brother Ken's favorite verse. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. We're talking about the word of God. It shall not return to me void. But look what it says. But it shall accomplish what I please. And it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Two things. We have a promise. Number one. It shall accomplish what God pleases. So don't say it won't do any good. Right? It will accomplish what God pleases. You may not see it. You may not ever know it made a difference. But beloved, if you share Jesus Christ and the crucifixion and the resurrection of the Son of God, I promise you, it will accomplish what God pleases. And it will prosper. You want to be a church on fire? A church where things are happening? Here's my challenge. All right, I said I was going to tell you at the end. Here's my challenge for the church. Every individual. If you're an individual here today, would you raise your hand, please? All right. Good. Got your attention. Every individual. Invite five people to church this week. Five people. Five people. That's not a lot. Walking through, going through the line at Walmart, invite the checkout lady. You go to the hardware store and somebody comes up to you and says, "Can I help you?" Yeah, I say, "You can help me," and let them help you and invite them to church. Just go. Leave this place being a great commission-minded Christian. All right? Five people. And be specific. Tell them, "You can sit with me." Amen. You come. I'll meet you at the door. And you can sit with me. You can be my guest. Because you see, that's one of the great problems of visiting a church today. People do not, as a rule, just drive by a church and say, "I think I'm going to go there." Because they don't know what door to come in. They don't know what direction to go when they get here. And they don't want to feel like they don't have a clue. So they don't come. Right? I promise you that's the way it is. So here's our job. Five people this week. You tell them, "If you'll come, I'll meet you at the front door. I'll meet you in the parking lot. I'll meet you wherever." And tell them the door to meet you. But invite five people. And I can promise you this. You invite five people to church, God's Word will accomplish what God pleases. And it shall prosper. See, isn't that what we want for Victory Baptist Church? Don't we want it to victory to prosper? We're going to have to be men and women of the Word, or men and women who share the Word. Five people. Now, I want to close, and I want to take an opportunity, and I want to tell you what makes a difference in life. Number one is salvation. You see, the Bible talks about that there is only one way to heaven. That one way is Jesus Christ. There's no other name given among men whereby men must be saved. You may be here today. You may be in the balcony today. Or sitting on the floor. And you're thinking, "I'm a good person." No, you're not. You're like the rest of us. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And you are not going to make it to heaven. Based upon your good works, what do you need? You need grace. You need mercy. Just like the rest of us. You know why I'm going to heaven? It's not because I'm a good guy. I promise you that. It's because I've called upon Jesus Christ, who died upon the cross of Calvary to pay for my sin. And I ask Him to save me. And the Bible says, "Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." And so I know. Because of the promise of the Word of God. Not what some preacher told me, not what somebody's opinion is, but based upon the promise of the Word of God that if I call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I shall be saved. I know where I'm going. Okay? Do you have that? If you do not have that, we're going to have a verse of invitation. I'm going to invite you to come and receive Jesus as your Savior. Maybe you're here today. And you know you've called upon the name of the Lord, but you've not made it public by following the Lord in baptism. Listen, you need to do that too. Why? Because baptism is the answer of a good conscience toward God. You see, you know that if you've not been baptized, that it's not right because you've not declared Jesus Christ publicly for all to see. And you know, if there's one thing I want people to know about me, I want them to know who my Savior is. You need to follow the Lord in baptism. Will you come? In this invitation. Maybe you're here today. And you know. You're saved. You've been scripturally baptized. But you're not a member of Victory. You know this is where you're supposed to be. You know God has brought you here. And this is where you're supposed to serve. Listen. God has brought you here for a purpose. Don't put God off and say, "Well, one of these days I may join and become a part of Victory," or, you know, if it feels, you know, if I get the right feeling or what. No, not about right feelings. It's about, does God want you here? If God wants you here, come on, let's join us. And let's lock arms and carry the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ to this world. That's all our job, okay? Whatever your spiritual need is, will you Will you, as an individual, make the commitment God calls you to make today? Father in heaven, we thank you. Oh Lord, we praise you for the privilege of being your representative and declaring the gospel message, the good news of Jesus Christ to this world. Lord, help us to be bold in our faith. Help us to share Jesus everywhere we go, to invite people to come and be a part of a worship service and to hear the preaching of the Word and to put them in a position, Lord, to respond to your message. Father, I pray that everyone present today will invite 5 people to victory for next Sunday. Father, as the invitations go out, I pray that you would saturate them in your Holy Spirit and that you, Lord, would draw a response that next Sunday this house will be filled with people who need to hear the gospel. Lord, we love you and we praise you and we pray your will be done now in this invitation in Jesus' name. Amen.